actually, we're positioning now the discussion. I believe, so on the program, there's a discussion of proton experiments. Should we revisit PPP alpha or fluorine 19? So I don't see a speaker actually on this program.
And Eric unfortunately just left.
This was her most unfortunate.
Is Joe still here? So the question is, can you redo the PP calculation, both at low energy and at high energy? And that would be one thing that would be really, really helpful.
And why do you want me to do that? I presumably can.
It's mostly just so we could have some uniform way of treating the tweak potential. So as you know, I had difficulty figuring out how to extract from your calculation the constraints on the DBH in your combinations or coupling.
But should we try to put constraints on the phases or mixing angles rather than the DBH coupling? Because it seems like the more relevant.
Mixing angles?
I mean, just the 2x S matrix elements, like the equivalence of the phase shifts. Because if I'm going to use a different strong, I'm always going to have this problem if I pick a strong interaction that I try to relate it to DBH. But if I can somehow relate it to a phase shift, 2x phase shift, a mixing angle, or whatever.
As long as it has the, what would you input into your code, I guess that's the question. For your parity violation.
Yeah, well, it would be either the DBH or a local, an effective field theory, one is fine if it's basically local. I mean, obviously we don't need that for the 2x problem, but if we can figure this.
If you like, I have the code built for Corona with 18 and DBH. So for the QP, for analyzing symmetry, I can do apparently. I did the decoder with an off, so more or less it's
the same, basically the same.
The same code.
Okay. And is any issue about running it up to 220 MeV so we get some space to try it as well? That would be great.
The contact pioneers provided to not as a delta but to be larger.
Well, we'll certainly address one issue we have to grapple with. The other question I had about the proton system was the fluorine 19. I was going to ask the experimentalists what they thought about trying to do that again today. Eric seemed to think that that was sort of the easiest thing to redo among the nuclear calculations. You might get increased precision with a moderate repetition of the experiment. And it does have a pretty important role because it, along with the P plus helium 4, are the two constraints right now that we have on this lowest order diagram, is kind of orthogonal to the PP constraint. So I'm not sure where, polarized beams exist today. Low energy polarized beams, but that's basically what you need, plus experimentalists would be motivated to do this. But perhaps this large NC way of looking at parity violation provides the motivation.
So that's a gamma asymmetry experiment?
Yeah.
From both, okay. So you have to make what is the energy that was used to make the polarized?
5 MeV. And it was purely statistics limited. They had really good systematics, at least in their budget. I think it was like a 0.4 microamp beam that was used at the time. So if you find a better beam and run for sufficient time, in principle, you could do a better job.
Well, let me say something about P proton induced reaction. So we know that at PSI, they had a 50 or 45 MeV injector, which they could use when PSI wasn't running. And they did, I mean, very good people did the PP and P alpha.
Yep.
So you could, if you had that set up, I think the next thing you would do is PD, which we, I don't know what it tells you, but we could learn what it tells you, or P helium 3. And you know, the nuclei tend to have the same combinations of matrix elements, but the few body system, as we learn from N helium 3, don't. And then so I looked, where can you get such beams? I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time, but you can get them as injectors.
So I think that measurement was, I mean, the old PP that was done at Zurich, I think, also did a PD measurement. And
they did?
Yeah,
really?
It's not been published, but it's referenced a couple places. So
Haberle did that?
Yeah.
Really?
So does PSI have a polarized beam?
No, I think they're in the neutron business, but Fermilab does. And then
Brookhaven does. Brookhaven has a polarized ion source.
And what energies?
Sorry, I don't know. It's injected into RIC to make polarized protons in the collider.
I remember this energy for fluorine 19 of around 5 MeV was somehow important. That was kind of a sweet spot for it.
Well, that's probably just the reaction. You want to make a lot in that particular state.
Polarization, yeah.
But for PP, right, you want to, there's the threshold, the square root threshold. So you want to go to probably some energy like 50 MeV is optimal. But it's not trivial to do those. I mean, angle, it was really professional.
So the facilities today are not any better than they were back in early stage?
Well, I think they try to make very intense beams, but, you know, they had heating of the hydrogen. One of their systematics was the convection currents caused by heating of the hydrogen, so that hasn't changed.
So it would be worse, presumably, with more intense proton beams, or is that what we should...
Well, I'm saying it wouldn't, because there's a systematic uncertainty they spent a lot of time controlling was that the beam heated the hydrogen gas, so it's a hydrogen gas target surrounded by an ion chamber, and they detected the scattered protons. So, but they had to work hard to control the density fluctuations caused by heating the gas, and a new experiment would have the same problem. I mean, a new experiment might be able, knowing what the problems are, design a better detector.
Can you use liquid?
No. You have to detect the reaction. So you don't want them to range out.
How about keeping it cool thermally?
Well, I don't know. I mean, those are detailed. I'm just saying that the people, Haberle is really good. So we're not smarter than Haberle. There's no major new technology. But, you know, we know how they did it, and we know what their problems were. So if somebody worked on it, they might improve it. But nobody's sitting here can tell you how to do that.
So in some sense, the PP measurement is not such a focus right now, because it's the better measurement of the two that we have to compare. So I think it would be really good if we could improve the other two experiments, one of the other two. And Willie told me that he thought that the P plus helium 4 experiment would be harder to do any better even today. But Eric told me he thought the PFOS, the fluorine-19 experiment was improvable. It simply didn't run all that long. And unlike fluorine-18, where it ran a very, very long time, it was statistics.
Do you have to improve the knowledge of the matrix element?
Well,
for fluorine-19?
Yeah, so that beta decay argument can be reassessed. I mean, we can do a lot more tests today than we could.
But experimentally, is the experiment good enough?
Oh, actually, that's a good point. The exocharge beta decay should be improved as well. I actually can't remember what the error bar is on that. But I know there were 2 or 3 measurements that were made. I did improve.
Do you have any insight as to what you would learn from PD and PDOM3?
I have to go back and look at the formulas, but not offhand. Thank you, Ray.
Well, we've actually marvelously brought us 2 or 3 o'clock on the schedule, which is a great time. So I'll pick up at 3:30. Thank you. Okay, so I'll just keep it aside.